What's up, everybody? This is Carrick with ACG, and welcome to another Why video where you ask cool questions and I try to give you somewhat realistic answers. Just all depends. It's about video games, love, life, pop darts, who fucking knows? We're just going to jump in here. I got just enough questions. I think I can get to all of them. If I can't, I apologize. I'll try to read who asked the question as well. These came from patrons. They came from the Discord. They came from Twitter, and they also came from Facebook. So the first one, End and Sword, best advice to a starting YouTuber. Create a video. By the time you're asking me, really, you've missed a step. You need to start creating and start creating now. There's every single day more people jumping into this. You know, create stuff and do stuff. A person, as somebody who, for example, martial arts, as somebody who does martial arts, you never get better if you never throw a punch, even if you throw that punch incorrectly, and somebody can train you and help you improve it. And the critique from other people on YouTube, including creators, but also viewers, including people that you may know, those people can help you and critique what you're creating as you move forward. But guess what? You can't move forward at all. You can't build a house without a wall, that kind of thing. So you need to put something up there. You need to get into creating and understanding how to put whatever passion you have into an actual video. So if your passion is reviewing, get a review out there, a good, nice, objective review out there, and put it out there. If you have something that, let's say you want to cover the top 10 weapons in a Far Cry game, feel free to go ahead and do that and just put it out there and say why you think so. You're not saying that these are statistically the best. You're just saying these are why, you know, these are my favorite weapons. That's okay to do. Create those. See the response. Look at it. Understand exactly what people are saying, what people are liking, what they're not liking. I will also say that it's very easy to get an analysis paralysis. This is where you start looking at all of the different things that you can change. And what do? You don't change any of them. You completely freeze. This is normal. It happens to everybody. The first thing I always say is find one thing and change that. And then the others will over time start to sort of come together. So if you create a video and you're like, I'm not happy with the sound, look at that. Identify what you need to do. Do you need to move your rig? Do you need to get a better mic? Do you need to adjust the sound within your room? Those can all be fixed in various fairly cheap ways, aside from the mic necessarily, but you can certainly even improve that. As somebody who started with a mic on a headset and went from there, I certainly know those issues. And don't be afraid of having technical issues. They will happen every time. I swear to you, every YouTuber I know, I'm thinking one's at least 10 times my size in subscribers. Yeah. Has tech issues. We all have tech issues. It happens all the friggin' time. It doesn't matter if you're a hardware tech reviewer, if you're a game reviewer, if you just do blogs, those things will occur. But what you need to do is you need to identify how to take that first step, right? You need to identify how to fix that first thing. You need to keep moving forward. You need to identify it and make an adjustment and see what happens at the other end. And if what happens in any way, shape, or form elevates the creation that you just did, that's a step in the right direction. Do you continue working on that? Well, maybe, but at least you can sort of checkbox that off and say, you know what? I made a small improvement there. Let's go to the next part. I always tell people also, don't get too caught up in tech. Tech is quite easy to get caught up in, and it can cost you thousands. And I mean thousands upon thousands of dollars. You can do quite well with a nice webcam, and you can do nice, I would say nice video, if not excellent video, with proper lighting, very good lighting, something even I don't have. So these are things that you can certainly improve as you go forward. If you're sharing space with somebody else, like many of us do, where you have a roommate, a significant other, dogs, cats, whatever, you live in an apartment where maybe there's a lot of sounds, you have crazy people outside your door. Those are all things that you can sort of work around, whether it be schedule or whether it be putting up some isolation padding to sort of keep some of those sounds down. So those are all steps, and you can identify them as categories, whether it be sound, video, right? Performance, speed of time. Maybe you feel like you have truncated what you wanted to say and you wanted to spread out some information more. You can mark those off and move forward, continue to make improvements and move forward, and you will never stop making improvements. But don't get caught up, like I said, into that tech cartwheel. You will get in there. It is very easy to step in and not realize it and think you can buy yourself out of a problem when many times smart thinking and a little bit of deduction can end up getting you out of it. Gumby Saddle. I just read that. How do I get game codes? Okay. So without knowing how the size of your channel, game codes are really in a weird position right now, especially because you have so many people creating content, and those publishers are inundated, the developers as well, with multiple requests. So let's cover it from the starting. Let's cover it a bit from their point for a second. Number one, if they don't get back to you, don't take it personal. I said this in a big video a while ago about Horizon Zero Dawn, and I'll say it again. Sometimes they just won't get back to you because they can't. They're too busy and there's too many requests coming in. And as somebody who's out there creating content, you know what it's like to try to create content and not have enough time. Guess what? Technically, if the person is there creating emails to send codes to YouTubers and Twitch streamers, they are also in a way creating content, and there is only so much time in their day. So you can't always hold that against them. Number two, sometimes they're just not going to like you. That's the way it is. I know for a fact that it's happened to me, and it's happened to almost everybody out there, that you don't jive with the overall way and personality of a company. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it works. That's exactly how it works. Now, the world will have you believe that everybody gets along kumbaya, everything's perfect, everything is exactly correct, and everybody gets the exact same chances as everybody else, and nothing matters about appearance or all these things. It's a complete lie, and you need to, when you're becoming a creator, really understand that that is a lie. The framework of success is there for everyone, but some things will be more difficult for others than other people. For example, it's difficult for me at times to get codes from particular companies because I cuss on camera. Is there a problem with that? No. Do I hold it against them? Nope, because that makes total sense. And in fact, I might get a subscriber who likes me because they don't have to worry about me filtering what I say. But that also may stop me from getting a code. You can't have it both ways. You can't pretend like it's only going to come positive from one place, not have a negative from somewhere else. And that's where the attitude can easily creep in. So when you want to get codes, I would say this. It's best to actually have created for a while. I see a lot of people create a patron day one, absolutely out of the blue. I help a lot of people in our Discord. I have a patron level for this where I help people through YouTube and Twitch and trying to sort of get set up. And my advice, and it doesn't mean it's right, but it's my advice, is that if you want to create a patron or you want to request codes or something like that, you actually should have content first, because those are really support mechanisms. The support mechanism isn't built to give you a code for no reason. That's a gift. What should happen is you should have some kind of skeleton there so that the support, whether it be a patron or whether it be a game code, is able to be looked at and identified as something useful for whoever's involved. I think that makes total sense. Whether it's a patron who looks and says, you know what, this is useful to me, I'm going to support them. Or whether it comes from a company, an indie company, a big company, who looks at whatever you're creating and says, you know what, I like what they're creating, and we're going to support them by giving them a code and letting them check out the game for a free price or for free. Sorry. Now, you also have a situation where people can get really caught up in, you know, I have this many subscribers, I have this many things, I should be given this and I should be given that. We all have those discussions behind the scenes at times, because you can get down, you know, you wanted to cover something, and that's the biggest problem, is expectations are almost never met in this industry when it comes down to it. That's okay as well. But what I'm saying is move past it quite quickly. Just be like, okay, that happened. I got to move past this. It's happened to me countless times. It'll happen to you countless times. When it comes to just basically getting codes, the easiest way I would say is, let's say you can find somebody that fits what you've created. Let's look at this. Okay, so let's say you do a top 10 weapons on a couple different videos, and they all happen to be modern or medieval weapon videos. So you like the top 10 videos in Final Fantasy, the top 10 videos in Far Cry, top 10 videos in Far Cry Primal, top 10 videos in a Call of Duty, what have you, and it's an older one. You might be able to then reach out to a developer and say, listen, I've done these videos, and this is what I'm offering. Can I get a code? A lot of times people will just request codes, and I can tell you, I'm not speaking for them, but I can speak for the people I've talked to, that many a publisher will look at that and go, why? Because they don't have the time to look at every single YouTube video or every single Twitch stream. A lot of times they want to know what you're offering, what you can offer. Sometimes when you get to a certain size, it is a little easier. I'm never going to say it's not. But other times you do have to say, hey, listen, these are my videos. Maybe pop a couple links in there, be professional, and send that away. Always be professional too. I've made this mistake myself, where I've worked with somebody for a long time and they'll say, do you want to cover this game? And I'll be like, yo, dude, or whatever I may say. And I send it, and They never say anything negative. It's never happened. But I will go, man, that was not the way it should have been. I should have been very professional regardless, because we may know each other, or they may like my content. Maybe they hate my content, but you're still supposed to be professional. I think professional, the professionalism that we show as YouTubers, Twitch streamers, DLive, whatever you're on, towards different publishers and different developers allows them to get a more clear defined idea of exactly what may be offered, because there's not a filter of bullshit that they have to work through, almost like some kind of filter of, oh, Carrick's just randomly blathering and then says, hey, I'd like a code. They have to look through all that and go, okay, he wants a code. Instead, it's better if it's a nice detailed form and you can make it clear to them exactly what you're looking for. When it comes to codes, also, I got to say this, just don't worry about it. Create, go out there, make a game video, make a video of whatever you want to talk about, whatever your passion is, put some passion in there, rub it up in there and get it out onto the internet and let people see it. The other stuff over time will take care of itself. I can't tell you that at 100 subscribers, you won't get a code, or at 1000, you will get a code. It's not the way it works. And any publisher, any person who handles PR will tell you the same thing. Many times they're looking at engagement. They're looking at the people who are involved, what people care about. Are they talking on your Twitter? Are they engaging with you? Do they care what you're saying? Because, you know, we can all say, I have this many views, but many times you're just looking at it going, all right, so what if a bunch of people looked at it because it was on a list somewhere as top 10 worst videos of the year or something? They don't maybe necessarily want to be on that channel. So you really do want to have that engagement up. You want to have people talking about your video. Give them a reason to talk about it. Give them a platform to talk about it. Those are all really important. And I think basic things, and certainly shouldn't surprise anybody. That was a long answer for how do I get codes, but it's actually not an easy question when you really look at what you're asking for, because there is a difference between a present and support. Like I said, a present is just getting something for free. Support, which is what you're really asking for, a code to look at and give them feedback or give them some kind of creation for, that's a deal that you're working out with them. And patron support, as well as that code, is support. They're not gifts, and you need to treat them as such. Next up, Todd C., are you going to review Borderlands 3? Yes, I mean, yes, I will try. Every time I say yes and then something goes wrong, I get held and raked over the coals. And it's one of those things where in the past I would be like, whatever. But now, you know, as the channel's gotten a little bit bigger, I'm like, man, I got to make sure that I'm a little bit clear on if I can or if I can't. But it's very difficult getting a code in the time to review it and then not having other games come in is quite difficult, especially, let's say, if a company says, we're going to get you a code. So you're like, okay, I'm set here. And I'm very good at scheduling. It's probably the only damned gift I even have when it comes to YouTube, is scheduling out stuff, scheduling out how long I think I need for something, how long it'll take for me to render it or remote render it or whatever I'm going to do. Well, you have this situation where something like Borderlands, it's out, it's going to be out in a while, and I can say, yeah, I'm going to review it. That is my sole intent and purpose to review it. I've already, you know, discussed it and have been in touch with them and have been told that, yes, I'll be reviewing it. But you never know when the timing is and what other games are out at that time. And I'm one of those type of people that whenever somebody, small or large, if a small company contacts me and I have time, I will respond. And I have covered small games in lieu of large games many times. And I get a lot of shit for it. But I'm going to tell you, to me, sometimes those small games are the ones where the magic happens, right? Even if it's the magic of discussion, the magic of the passion of people getting together and saying, there's something here, right? Maybe there's something that we don't like here, but there's something here. And so sometimes I like covering those, and I will schedule something and I won't break that schedule for somebody else. It doesn't matter how big the game is. And I have lost multiple big games by being like, well, these guys didn't respond. No problem. These three smaller games are here, or these two smaller games are here. I'm going to cover those, begin to cover them, get an email saying, hey, you know, do you want a code, but it's only like a day or two ahead of time, or it overlaps with those ones I'm already doing? I'll be like, nope, you know, I'm busy. I mean, I think that your word is the only real thing that can matter. And, you know, you'll break it at times. We had in my area horrible weather, and I ended up having two or three reviews that needed to get done, lost the footage, all this stuff, emailed the people, talked to them. It was fine. But you don't want that to happen too many times. If you say you're going to cover something, you should cover it regardless of what's coming down the pipe, even if that's going to cost you. Because in the long run, you'll sort of get known as somebody who does that. And it's always best to not be that person. So when it comes to reviewing Borderlands, also, I was contacted to go somewhere. I can't remember where. But I was contacted yesterday about going and checking out some gameplay for that. Unfortunately, that was one of those situations where I just can't financially afford to fly down. And yes, they say that, you know, they'll pay for that kind of stuff. But you guys know me. That's not going to happen. I'll pay. Or they can pay and then I'll, you know, end up donating to cancer research, which is what I've done before for Watch Dogs. I think it was cancer research the one time I went down. I just don't like doing that. I like to pay for myself and go down and sort of feel like it's just me completely. I don't really like anybody paying for anything. It's very uncomfortable for me. It doesn't work for me. I don't think it fits the channel. And the channel is really an extension of me. And I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't like it. So I had to turn that down. Plus, I did have one plan on one of the days. I could have probably worked around that. But so my plan is to review that. I won't be going on whatever trip that I saw was planned. But that, again, is just one of those things where, you know, you won't see me do a lot of those big events unless I can float the bill financially myself. And plain and simple fact is, a lot of times, I've got games to review. So I'd rather just review the game and worry about something later or go to something closer, maybe, or something that is more cost effective so that I can pay for it myself and not have, you know, any thought process that somebody else ended up getting me there. I just do not like that. Let's see. Cthulhu from our Discord said, oh, this is a long one. What helps you to keep up your work ethics and unbelievable crunch? And I mean that for real, not your general high energy level or the energy drinks and caffeine. Do you have a certain mental technique? Do you suffer from block like as a published writer does sometimes? No, I don't really have. So there's definitely days, especially when you come off two or three reviews like I just came off of, where there's days where you're just a little bit calmer. This is me calm, by the way. Those can happen. But when it comes to mental blocks or anything like that, that never happens. It doesn't happen because, for example, I did EDF, Earth Defense Force 5, and I had Cadiz, who's in our, he's a personal friend of mine. He's been on the channel. If you follow the channel for a long time, back in the day, he did the occasional Let's Play. He's a personal friend of mine. And he came over and we played this. And, you know, the company knew. I was like, hey, it's a multiplayer game. I'd like to have somebody play. They were like, as long as you're, you know, comfortable that they're not going to break embargo. It's like, of course not. So we sit down and we play it. And the same one-liners that I drop to him or that we talk about is what gets into the review. There isn't a writing process ever. So I don't have to worry about that. I just say what I want to say. There's a sort of a duality in what goes on during the gameplay, in that I'm just memorizing the stupid shit that comes out of my mouth, and then I end up hitting record and say, sup everybody, this is Carrick with ACG, and once again, it's Mike. And then I just go. And so there isn't a roadblock or a writer's block kind of situation that ever really occurs there. I will say that the hardest games, strangely enough, are when there's a mediocrity to them, when there's that middle ground. And there's that moment where you find yourself meandering around trying to figure out exactly what to say and what really matters and what you want to pull from a title. Those can be a little difficult just because your brain isn't really engaging as much because nothing really captures it in a bad or a good way. Here's what's weird. After those reviews are done, those reviews might be the most difficult because sometimes a lot of times I'll go lift weights, I'll teach a class, I'll do martial arts, I'll go for a run. Those times that I'm thinking, those are the times that, you know, where I'm just like, what am I thinking about this game? But then later, once I'm done with those reviews many times are the strongest from me mentally, or I get the most strength from them mentally later, where I'm like, I got through that weirdness, that sort of middle ground. And I find those very successful for some reason. They feel like I get a sense of success from them, I would say, in such a unique way. And it's happened multiple times. It doesn't change the review, but what it does is, that spirit or that energy that you get from something isn't there, and you have to figure out exactly how to pull it. And I think that what that does is engages your brain, causes you to look even deeper. And I love that kind of stuff. That excites me. The other question was, what helps you to keep your work ethic and unbelievable crunch? And I mean that for real. You have mental technique. No, I don't. This is the way I am. So this is just the way I am. I absolutely love games. So I would say my mental technique is tapping into games and also understanding that the real world matters and this shit absolutely doesn't. So when it comes to games, you can absolutely take your job serious, but not be serious while doing it. And that's pretty much how I do things. I take my passion serious about games, but it's not just about games. It's about the technology around them. It's about the society around them. It's about gamers. It's about all of that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I understand, and this may just be me, I understand the stuff that occurs outside of gaming. One of the things, for example, that I was super stoked about, because since I was a little kid, I loved them, but they took a picture of a black hole yesterday. And I was just all excited because this is something that as a child, all you saw was illustrations, right? And this is the first time where they're like, boom, that's what it is right there. And other people are talking about games and they're like, meh, 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 and they're all getting mad. And I'm just sitting there going, black holes, bitches. Like, I'm all excited about that. I'm just, to me, that's the crunchy stuff in life. That's the juice. That's what matters. The other stuff, you know, disagreeing about a game or, you know, somebody not liking what you said or you not liking what somebody else said, that shit goes by the wayside, man. Who fucking cares? Like, there's so many more important things to worry about. So my mental technique, I guess I would say, is to realize that not a lot of mental technique is technically required here. Baseball Gear Today says, what keeps you motivated? Yeah, passion for games. I love games. I love the technology games. First games, Apple IIe, absolutely loved them. I still remember the glorious day of finding out that on an Apple IIe, if you had a normal one-sided floppy disk, if you used a paperclip, you could clip the other side of the floppy disk and it would become a two-sided floppy disk. That was the magic back then. Yeah, old, I get it. But it was also the magic. It was the magic of going in there and being able to crash a game and see its code super easy on a lot of titles. You didn't need anything else. Damn, it was open Apple something something, but you could open a game. You could many times stop the game from loading and actually see the code of the game and what they were doing and take it apart and look at it and identify those things. Atari 2600, you got your Apple II, and then you just move up from there. Bard's Tale, one of the games, you guys, if you follow the podcasts at all, you know I talk about all the time, something that I have been a fan from since day one, since the original Bard's Tale. I'm a fan of technology. I'm a fan of games. I'm a fan of gamers. I'm a fan of what games can do and where that can lead us. That's why you hear me talk about VR, especially now as VR has seen an insane resurgence. If you guys don't believe that, go look at like some of the gains WMR in particular has seen in like Steam usage charts, some of the sales, all of the new headsets announced. VR is coming back with a vengeance. Is this the gen that's going to knock it out of the park? No, probably not. But what you do is you see this thing that I love so much about gaming, which is like a phoenix, man, a digital phoenix, and it just rises from the ashes. It's like, okay, this didn't work, and it comes back, and it's like, that was not my final form, fuckers, and I love that. And to me, that's what works for me. That's what motivates me is games. And then the community. My Discord is the greatest thing that's probably ever happened to me. I have real friends, in real life friends, physical friends. And then I've got people on Discord that I would absolutely consider real life friends, just non-physical friends, people that I absolutely enjoy talking to. And the Discord in the Patreon is just one of the coolest places ever. It's a safe place to talk about games, for people to have a discourse and discuss, sometimes disagree, many times agree, talk about movies, talk about games, music, what have you. There's a reason why I'm just blown away. We've kept our patron count at the level we've had for so long. It's or gone up. We did lose a bunch when Patreon decided randomly they were going to ban some people. And we ended up, you know, having a lot of people leave because they were mad. But it's been great. It's just amazing. The community, the back and forth, talking in the comments. I try to get in there and talk to people. If somebody says, good job, I try to say thanks. If somebody says you're stupid, I try to say thanks. It's a great way of communicating and meeting new people. For example, I wouldn't have known. There's so many people. There's Brian from Bad Seed Tech, Dreamcast guy, Mr. Maddie. Joker, Tech Yes City, Tech City. Sorry, I think it's Tech Yes City. Yes City Tech. I think it's Tech Yes. No, it's Tech City now. Yeah. Pretty much a Johnny from our Discord, Silver Hawkins, Abzi, Takedown, all these guys you see me do stuff with, bigger YouTubers, smaller YouTubers, people who are like-minded in their passion for games and like-minded in their desire to have a discourse about them. It's amazing. It's awesome. And I haven't, in fact, if there's anything, I've got more passion for gaming, which is probably unhealthy, but it's something that I absolutely love. It's what causes me to sit up for 5 hours and read the technical elements on a brand new camcorder, or the next day sit there for hours and watch Game of Sutra videos or GDC videos and articles about some new technology in an engine somewhere. Do I always get it right? Absolutely not. But that's a part of being a YouTuber. I love that kind of stuff. That's where the passion comes from. And I think if you're jumping into it, that's probably where it should come from for you as well. Money's never really ended up becoming a thing for me. I don't think I'll ever be a big YouTuber. People think that this, you know, they'll be like, wow, 500,000, that must mean he's rolling in dough. Yeah, sure. That's why I'm using a generic green screen and I have an unpainted wall behind me. Sure. You don't. It takes a lot more than that. I don't accept sponsorships and I don't accept, well, any money or any merchandise like that. So that's one of the big things that hits me in particular. That's not a part of the channel. I never want it to be. So maybe there's other places where I could end up doing better, but right now I can't. It's one of the reasons why I've spread out to like Anchor, iTunes, iHeartRadio, I think is the other one, Spotify. That's why you'll see our podcasts on those, because those are places where they can run an ad that's like about coffee or something. It's not about games and shit. And that's fine. But I just don't like those things. So therefore, I don't have a ton of money. And for me, that's good because it's never been about that. It's about the industry and sitting back and talking to people about everything stupid under the sun. And I got to tell you guys, and this is the honest truth, man, going to bed on a Friday after being able to talk to some of my best friends, I'm going to try to not get choked up here, but some of my best friends, I spend 2.5 hours talking to Maddie about games, stupid stuff, saying dumb shit, and having a blast doing it. Prior to that, I have 3 hours of podcasts with the international folks, people from all over the world. That's why it's called the International Gaming Podcast, because there's people from all over the world, and laughing and saying the dumbest things and having a good time and hearing from somebody who is in a completely different area than me and what they have to deal with games and what they like. And then me telling them and them being surprised, talking about gaming snacks, stupid shit. That's the juice. I've got to meet amazing people as well. Total Biscuit. I got to meet him before he unfortunately passed away, and he actually ended up passing on insane information to me. I sometimes do have a difficult time taking advice from people who are in the same level, because I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know what it is, but you get there and somebody says, maybe you should do this. And you're like, I've probably already tried that. Your sort of brain sort of turns off for whatever reason. But when it came from him, he especially when it comes to doing less, because I am a do more person. And some of the few things he said to me are, they're lessons that I'll never forget. I will never forget those. I learned so much in like a 35 minute period of talking to him. And I got to talk to him longer than that. But I mean, in that 35 minutes, I was just like, gotcha. And despite what anybody may think about anybody I've said in these, in all the names I've dropped, there's even more. Happy Gamer, by the way, gotta say him. I love that guy. It's fucking awesome. It's fucking awesome. That was another long answer. I apologize for, I got to keep this short. Jesus Christ, people are going to fall asleep. Who's Off First says, how do I get someone to collaborate with me? Okay, strangely enough, I've worked with, I think, all the people I just named. Actually, Happy and I haven't got to work together yet. We were talking about that. So when it comes to collaboration, first of all, this is just my opinion. I'm going to say it. I don't think you should agree with it, but it's just my personal thought. I fucking hate the word collaboration. I hate it with a passion that borders on a fiery hot heat. I hate it. It should be partnership, teamwork, collaboration to me sounds like something that just absolutely removes the passion out of everything. When I was talking to Maddie, I think what happened was Maddie liked a review I did. He said, bubble, but he said like, good job on the review or something like that. And I saw his stuff. We started talking just Twitter. You know, I think I thanked him. That's usually what you're supposed to do, is be like, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Just like I would if a normal person who was just a YouTube commenter said, thank you, you say thank you back. We started talking back and forth and we decided to work together and just have fun together. And I got to work with Lone Vault Wanderer before he ended up starting to work for Bethesda. And you just get to sit down and talk to these people. That to me is a more healthy, more collaborative moment than the word collaboration. Because that to me has an almost cutoff date. It's like, let's collaborate on this video. And I'm not saying those are bad, but to me, I would rather foster friendships and teamwork and understanding and sort of something that can continue. Because again, like I said, that's the juice for me, is getting together and talking to people and being like, you know what? This is somebody I want to work with next time. I've had Brian from Bad Seed Tech on I've had all those guys on multiple times on the podcast and been on theirs. That's what it's about, guys. That's what it's about. I mean, you can always have negativity. There's always going to be some jackass who thinks he's the best person in the world doing whatever the shit he's doing. That happens in every single industry in the world. They're always the one who thinks they're always right, blah, 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 whatever. Let them exist in their own plane. What I like to do is get together with people and work together. And that teamwork is different than collaboration. So when I say this, make sure you understand that's where I'm coming from. To get people to work with you, I think you really do need to offer them something. I have a number of people who will say, I'd like to work with you. They've got a small number of subscribers. Does that matter? No. If they have 100 subscribers, I don't care. What matters is that we're going to get something out of it that stokes our passions, that's not just me working with maybe a fan or them working with somebody they like or them thinking they're going to get more views. Sometimes it's just like, man, I like talking to this dude. For example, Better With Friends, Abzi and Takedown had no channels, none. They had nothing. I wanted to work with them because I liked talking to them. And that's what matters. And now they have channels. Now they can stream if they want. They don't have to. Takedown's got a real job. And we can all join together and cover games and just have a good time. That's the kind of teamwork I think works better. And it's strange, but I've done teamwork and collaboration, I guess you would say, with different people. And the teamwork has always worked better. I got to sit down and talk to Skill Up twice, three times. I think three times he's come, twice to my podcast and I did once with his. I could be wrong. But we got together and just talked about games. And we handle reviews, well, a lot alike, but there's some ways we do things differently or we deliver information differently. But talking back and forth, you're just like, it's somebody you want to talk. I want to talk to them. If I don't want to talk to them, I will not talk to them. If I want to collaborate with somebody, it feels like it's just a one and done deal. But if it's a teamwork and a friendship and a partnership and you share a passion, you can continue to talk about it and you can continue to move forward. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would assume that a lot of people would say YouTube is a lonely place at times, or making videos is a lonely place. I never have a lonely day in my life, ever, because we all work together. And if I need something, I can say, hey, I got a question. If they need something, they can pop off and say, hey, I got a question. You can help each other. I'm having a hard time getting this from somebody. I'm having a hard time understanding this. Boom. I'm having a difficult time in my life. Whatever. Boom. You help them. That's the way it works. And I think that that is better than collaboration. So, long story short, collaboration, sort of a dirty word to me. Irene says, are sequels as repulsive to you as they are to me? Apparently not, because I don't use the word repulsive with a sequel. To me, sequels are a chance for a developer, movie maker, musician, use your illusion one and two, I suppose, probably isn't done very often, but or book writer to improve upon the prior and continue the story of the prior, whatever fiction that they've created. So no, they're not repulsive to me at all. In fact, I'm somebody who's fairly impervious to the 1, 2, 3 kind of situation where it's like, here's a game, here's two, and here's three. That doesn't mean that within them I don't want to see something occur, and I certainly don't want to see a wasted type of situation where we've certainly seen that with a lot of games where it's 1, 2, 3, and you get to one of them, and it feels like it's just wasted, where it's just treading the same water with a slightly different skin. That kind of stuff can really bother me. But no, I wouldn't say they're repulsive to me at all. In fact, I would say I outright enjoy many sequels. I do get the worry from people where they say something that I personally believe, I wouldn't say it's bullshit. I wouldn't go that far, and I wouldn't say that they're wrong, but I would say that there is a broken logic sometimes that occurs when you hear somebody say, I would rather have this company make this game or make a new IP than this game. And the number of new IPs that fail spectacularly and suck spectacularly are very high. The number of sequels that are very good is also high. So I'm not 100% sure one beats out the other when it comes down to it. So to me, I don't really care if it's got 2, 3, 4 or some kind of sub name after it, but I do want to see something in it that's substantive. That matters the most to me. Baseball says, what are your best personal records and how often do you work out? Any physical activity counts. Run every day. I practice every day and I lift weights every day. Well, Saturdays, Sundays, sometimes lift. But I'm always doing something. I also do airsoft. I also teach. So let's see. I think it was 405 bench was probably my highest. Squat was 500 and something. Leg press or leg extension, which is bad on your knees, but I was doing somewhere around like 275, which is like Olympic weights. I remember when I was doing it, people were like, your knees are going to explode. I don't do that one anymore. I don't go for personal bests much anymore right now. You will see me on Twitter in particular where suddenly that's my thing and I'll get into it. It's almost like an ego thing where personally I'll be doing one thing and then I'll be like, I want to make sure that my personal bests haven't, you know, dropped if I've aged a year or something like that. And I'll go back and I'll do those. I also have a tendency to fluctuate tremendously in what I want to do. Tremendously. So for a great deal of time, maybe, it's a shit ton of airsoft. It's a shit ton of wrestling. It's a shit ton of aerobic kind of workouts. It's a shit ton of boxing. It is just absolutely, really, to me, the grind that I love. No one loves working out with me when I love the grind. And I will tell you that. I've had people come over and they're like, it's not fun at all. I don't know why, but I absolutely love to have it be super hot, super uncomfortable, and work for an incredible amount of time until I don't know why I like that, which is weird because I usually like it cool. But when working out, that's the way I like it. And then I'll switch more towards weighted stuff, lifting weights, and then back towards powerlifting sometimes, and then back towards martial arts. It really just depends on what I'm doing and what I feel like doing. I like to mix it up sometimes too. I'll go for a year where they're all mixed up. You know, where you're doing 1,000 kicks a day with each leg or something like that. You're doing some crazy amount, those kind of things. That's a blast to do too. I just really like doing it. It's something that keeps me really grounded, because once again, it's something that's outside of YouTube and this digital thing. It's something I talked about on the podcast this morning, that when you think about it, the little window of your monitor, the little window of the camera that I'm talking into, that's where a ton of shit is, right? Good or bad. But when you turn them off, the real world's like VR, right? You're actually in that. So to me, when I work out really hard and I'm grinding to the point of just absolute, I don't know how to describe it, where it's the most tired you think you've ever, ever, ever been, and then able to do one more push-up, there's something about that that equals or exceeds any success anywhere else. It's because it's a physical thing. It's also a mental thing. It's a creative thing, especially in what we do, because a lot of martial arts is highly creative. You know, trying to figure out, as we found out with my bad finger, trying to figure out, you know, how to get into somebody else's spots, how for them to get into yours, weaknesses, understanding what's going on there, the chess match of a person trying to do damage to you, where you're trying to not have damage done to you, but also have damage done to them. And there's something absolutely incredible about that. Also, gotta say, my favorite tool of all time is either the water heavy bag, which is it's a punching bag with the bottom filled with water, or the weighted vest. There is, I always tell people, there's absolutely nothing that works you out harder than throwing on a heavy weighted vest and working out. They are incredible, especially if you don't have a lot of time or you're trying to do even get up body work where you're on the ground, you're trying to, you know, get up off the ground really quick. You're trying to, you know, work on your footwork and trying to make sure that you have that good explosive power. Those are a blast. Let's see. Game over, man. He's in our Discord. ACG, favorite developer, Sega. So people think it's BioWare, and I've said BioWare many times, but and that's probably on me because I'm sure I've said this in my response, but I really should say that BioWare is my favorite. BioWare is the maker of my favorite game, and there's a difference between those two, which I should clarify. Sega is my favorite developer. Sega will always, most likely always be my favorite developer, despite the fact that they have, you know, really done a fairly good job heading off into mediocrity at times. Virtual Fighter is my favorite fighting game of all time. You know, Thunder Blade, Space Harrier, they made some of those arcade games I grew up on, Outrun, Zillion, which I don't think that was a Sega Master System game, but I don't think Zillion was made by them. I think that was made by Xseed or something. But you had all these titles that Sega published and produced and developed at the time. The M2 group, or AM2. It was just an amazing time to be an arcade gamer. And then to get a home system, whether it be your Sega, Genesis, even the Saturn, which had some great games on it, your Dreamcast, those were great times. And they made a shit ton of titles. And I personally believe is probably the only company other than Nintendo that had enough of a stable of their own IPs, unique IPs across different genres that could have gone, toe to toe with the current big companies without having to make huge changes to their infrastructure, like Microsoft's having to do, where you could have a Sega system and Sega's IPs. They had enough of them. And some of them were crazy good. So yeah, definitely Sega. And it's a good question. I'm glad he asked it because I do definitely answer that wrong at times. Airwolf says, how do you try to withstand negativity in the industry? So let me get a drink. Negativity in the industry isn't really that big of a deal to me personally, as in it doesn't hold me down. It's a big deal, but it doesn't affect me too much. Just to be honest, I talked about the black holes, which sounds like a weird thing to say, but as somebody who, for example, was sick when I was younger, who's had their fair share of stuff, like we all have, certainly not saying other people haven't. I think one of the biggest things that you can do when you come into YouTube, when you come in to be a streamer, when you come in to work in any industry, is that you remember what happens outside of it. Every time I turn off the camera, I look outside and I realize that there are people having horrendous days, horrible lives. You have to remind yourself of those occasionally, whether you like to or not, and be engaged and aware. And far worse than any of the stuff we're discussing, like in current politics or something, where you look at at worldwide and you see some of the things in different countries, which is one of the things I studied. And certainly my family, because of who my family is, it's easier for me to sort of get some of that information due to where they're from. So I really look at it, though, and I just think, I just don't fucking let it bother me. I mean, negativity sucks. There's going to be people. There's, like I said earlier, there's going to always be some jackass, right? There's always going to be some jackass. And you can be the jackass one day, by the way. When I say there's always going to be one, there will be days where it's me. There's always going to be that, too. But there's always going to be some jackass or some horrible situation in gaming. And you have to many times just disconnect, understand that the situation's there, try to take care of it, but then disconnect and be like, you know what? In a world where things really matter, does a $60 video game review matter if this person doesn't like what I said? No. They'll get caught up. They'll go fucking crazy. I've seen people go fucking batshit insane over reviews to where you're like, your mental health is at question right now. Like whether they're commenting, whether they're talking, whether they even have their own videos that where you're watching them just going like, dude, or dudette, you're falling apart. Like you're falling apart. Get the fuck out, man. Get out. Escape. Because if you don't, that shit will eat you alive because it's bigger than you. And it will successfully destroy you every single time. You have to step out of it. You have to understand exactly what's occurring. And you have to understand how to separate those. And I think that the unhealthy element that occurs is when people don't understand how to separate them. There's always going to be negativity. My personal plan and idea is to have the positivity that I can have, the enjoyment I can have, and try to fix what I can fix at times on the other end, but not worry so much about it if somebody else is negative. Sometimes you see that negativity and you see a lot of that vitriol. You see that almost like antagonistic mental violence towards other people. And I'm just like, I don't fucking care. I mean, let them duke it out. Like it's just words. And it's just these two people pissed about, this some goddamn game that they don't agree on or something like that. It's so dumb. And we can talk then at the same time about really interesting things like the Epic Store or something like that, where I do have thoughts on what I want to discuss about those. They're usually never black and white though, because as somebody who studied business, I understand both sides, the business side as well as the consumer side. There's a morality side. and all that. And I like to talk about those kind of things, where a lot of people, I think, if they feel more comfortable drawing a line in the sand, it's always easier to draw a line in the sand. And then therefore, you know exactly where you want to defend it, even if once you start doing so, your defenses start to sound really fucking weird. There's certainly situations where I think that that's warranted. Absolutely. But the vitriol, the negativity, it just doesn't affect me much. I mean, there's the occasional time where I'll say something or mouth off on Twitter, but overall, I'm just like, what the fuck ever. It just doesn't bother me. There's so many things in life, guys. When you turn off me, you're not watching this anymore, and you look outside, there is more outside, whatever window you're looking at, that should engage you, should impress you, should make you passionate about life, than anything when you turn on your monitor. Anything. Go outside, look around, and realize what the fuck happens in the real world and what really matters. And does arguing about the cost of a game being $10 more than you expected, does it equal finding out that some fucking boat sank somewhere and people died? No. You can still discuss both of them, but should you be tied up in one so that you're all angsty? I don't think so. At least not for me. Let's see. We had that one. Oh, I copied that one over. Balls Strapped says, why do you share other creators' videos? Why do you share other? Oh, doesn't it hurt your views? Okay. I was like, what? Why do you share other creators' videos? Doesn't it hurt your views? I don't think so. I don't think there's ever been a time where sharing somebody else's videos magically meant one for one. And in fact, I think one of the biggest negativities that you have in any creator space, whether it be streaming, whether it be Twitch, DLive, Facebook, what have you, YouTube streaming, or it be video creation, more on the YouTube and Facebook side, I don't think it's ever been one for one. And in fact, I've found that by sharing creators' visions, other people's ideas, it actually works better for me because I get those ideas from them and understand where they're coming from and understand what their thought process is and learn from them. A lot of people don't want to learn. They don't want to learn. And if they're told that they have made a mistake or told that they're not learning or they get any indication, they absolutely fly off the fucking handle. They go completely, absolutely batshit insane. And that to me, like I said before, is really uncomfortable. It's really sad to see. It's really embarrassing to see. I personally believe that if, for example, I do this all the time, if somebody has a good, and I do say this, good, well-developed stance on a review where I believe that they disagree with me, but it's a well-developed stance and it makes perfect sense, I'll share the hell out of that thing. I'll be like, hey man, I like this game. This person didn't. Boom. I won't, if I watch it and I'm like, this person has no fucking clue what they're talking about, they're not getting any extra PR. But when I watch somebody, even people I don't follow that much, and I look at their video and I'm like, man, that's interesting, you fucking bet I'll share it, and we should share it. And I'll share the people that I know and I trust as well around me, even if I don't absolutely agree with every single thing they've said. If I think that there are nice salient points in there, I absolutely will push it out. I think that that's interesting to see, and maybe it'll cause somebody else to understand where somebody's coming from. And God forbid, maybe somebody who follows me but doesn't follow somebody else because they don't like him anymore might see me share a video and think, oh, Carrick shared this video, I'll watch it and finally understand a point, not be such a jackass to the creator who made the damn thing. I want that to happen too. I think that, you know, true hate, true vile, true disgustedness, true attacks should be held to when they really are a truthful situation where it matters and it should occur, and it doesn't as much. So to me, I want to share those things. I want people to get out there, see those ideas, share the passion in games, understand where they're coming from, and just be excited by them. That's what matters. And you can still critique the fuck out of something. You know, I'll have an issue with something. I gave Anthem a never touch, and I'll stand by that for the rest of my life. And I've given games buys that people have been absolutely deathly mad at me for, and I'll defend those because that's what I believe. And how dare you think that somehow you fucking possess ESP to where you think you can come in my brain and tell me that I'm wrong and that my thought is wrong because it's different than yours. If somebody's got a detailed idea of something and I don't agree with it, I'm not going to absolutely lose my shit. And that's why I share them. And I'll share them all the time. I love a lot of these guys. And I'm going to tell you, I want them to stick around. And I think the negativity has a chance of causing them to leave. Some people don't handle it like I do, right? Some people let that shit eat at them. And I think that it would be a disservice to games. It would be a disservice to publishers. It would be a disservice to developers. It would be a disservice to content creators. It would be a disservice to the consumers if some of these people left because the negativity was so high. So, you know, I say keep it to where and when it matters. Otherwise, share them videos. Share them because you might learn something. Fuck, man. People are afraid of learning shit. I love yogurts. Do you still like your job? Be serious. Do you still love it as much as the day you started? No. I will be honest. I like it way more. No, I love it. I love it. I love my job. I love it way more than I did when I started because there was a lot of confusion there. Now the confusion is more like, why does YouTube seem to hate me? Yeah, why are they demonetizing some random video? That kind of shit happens. No, I absolutely love it. I love it. And I love it. You critique a video. You say, you know, this video's or this game is not definitely worth somebody buying. I love to walk away from that and go, you know, I did my due diligence on that and I explained my part and I'm good. I can wipe my hands and I can move on. Doing a podcast with people. This is a great fucking job. It's hard as hell. As somebody who's pulled green chain, which is considered one of the harder jobs that you can do at like lumber mills, stuff like that, and done my fair number of, you know, labor intensive tasks, work out all the time. You can get exhausted doing a YouTube video because it's a mental energy. It's a different kind of energy. And it certainly is a job. Don't mistake my enjoyment and my passion for it as something where I'm like, it's easy. I just fucking do a video and then I go and I fucking ride away on my yacht like Scrooge McDuck. That's not what's happening. But I have not stopped loving it. No. Mad Hatter has the last one. Why do you buy the games you review? Seems to be an additional cost. Yes, very much an additional cost. I buy the games I review for the same reasons why I do not like the ads. When it comes to the buying the games, I think it's great to buy the games. It causes me to feel a little bit more ownership over whatever I'm saying. And I personally believe this also goes for like flights, the trips, hotel stays, all that kind of stuff, whether it's E3, whether it's a private event, where if I'm paying for it, it's coming from me, right? And even if it was $5, an indie game, I keenly feel the loss of $5 if I play a bad game. And I would like to continue to feel that loss so that I understand what I'm saying is true to me. I like that. And I feel that it really works for me. And I buy the games because I think that that's absolutely what should happen for me. Nobody else has to do this. This is just what I believe. When I entered this business, I was like, I'm going to buy all the games regardless because I just feel like it works. So if somebody gives me a code, you'll get that code early. The moment I get the code, I just go on Amazon and I find a digital copy, even if it's a pre-order, and I just hit that pre-order. Even though you're still playing the code early, get that pre-order, you can give it away to somebody, or which is what I do a lot of times. That kind of thing still allows for you to know that you bought into it as well. And I think that it works and it will always work. And if I ever review a product, this is why I don't review a lot of hardware products because I buy them all. I bought every set of fucking headphones I've reviewed. Sorry, my dogs agree. Every VR that I've reviewed. I do that because I want to feel that just like a consumer who is jumping into it feels, and that it's not some lofty position where I'm like, toit, toit, give me your game. And I play it and I'm like, it means nothing to me. I would rather feel like I lost that $5 or that $10. And it works for me. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll work for everybody. I think it should. Anyway, that's it for me. It's been a long one. I apologize. This has gone on for, how long have we gone on for? Well, longer than I actually thought it was going to go. But I want to say thank you to everybody who has watched. If you get a chance, I would absolutely love for you to check out Patreon. You know, we say it, people don't realize it, but it does matter, especially because I'm demonetized all the damn time, probably because I cuss, but demonetized all the time. A little bit on Patreon goes a fucking long ways, especially when it comes to like views or something like that. $5 on Patreon gets you Discord access. It gets you invites to the various different games we do. We have a huge Discord. We're always doing games. We got private servers. We got all kinds of crazy stuff. It's really one of the best communities I've ever seen in games. And I mean that, if it was somebody else's, I would be jealous of it. I mean, I'm jealous of the fact that they're in there right now and I'm not. It's a great time. but also try to give away some swag. Occasional things early, but really it is a great place. Also, at certain levels, you can, if you want help with your YouTube channel, detailed help, I can do that as well, where I sit down and talk to you for many hours, it seems. That's the way it's turned out with everybody I've helped. Looking through stats, trying to help you with tech choices, things that no one was able to help me with. You know, especially when I started, I was always surprised that you'd ask for help. Nobody would give you any help. You'd get some buyer's guide on Games Radar or something like that. And I don't mean that as a negative towards them. I just mean as a website. It'd be like top fucking webcams for 2015. And you're like, that's not exactly what I was looking for. I needed to know if it does this or does that. And that's what I try to do at that Discord level. But yeah, if you get a chance, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, here, that's it. Peace out. Thank you very much for all the questions. Thank you to everybody who put them in. See you next time.